died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. This ends our scripture reading. Just this week, we had the experience of seeing a taste of spring. Even today, we're getting a glimpse of that right now outside. The weather is warming up. We're starting to see the precursors of it. But I don't know if you noticed, on Friday when it was nice, then Saturday it got cold again. And did you hear people kind of grumbling about it a little bit? And, it got cold all of a sudden again. Well, why is that? It's because we got a taste of the good weather and we wanted more. We were a little bit impatient. We want spring to come. And heaven is kind of like that. That when we get a glimpse of it, when we get a taste, a sampling of it, we want more. We long for it. And that's the way it ought to be. And that's what this passage has before us this evening, that we are to desire a better land than this world. We are to desire a heavenly land, and we are to desire a place that Christ is preparing for us. So three simple truths, focusing on one point tonight, but that we are to desire a better heavenly home that Christ has prepared for us. Well, first, desire a better home. The question should be put to us, do we really believe that heaven will be better than the joys and blessings of this life? Do you actually believe that? Or does your mind go to heaven and you think of an eternity-long worship service, sitting in hard pews, singing songs again and again and again and again for infinity? Maybe some of you are thinking that's what tonight is kind of like, an infinite long time of singing songs sitting on hard pews. But no, our minds can think that heaven will somehow be boring or somehow be less than glorious. And as we look at our lives here and we see the joys and the delights and the blessings and the cherished time with family and friends and our enjoyment from work and the beauty of creation and the comfort of our homes and so on and so forth, we think that somehow heaven will pale in comparison, at least in some ways, to the joys of this life. But if that's our view of heaven, that we think that in any way heaven will be a step down, then I would say that the saints of the Old Testament ought to be a way to chasten our faith. It should be a way to rebuke us a little bit, gently, because these Old Testament saints who had less revelation, who saw less clearly than we do, knew that they were looking forward to something that was incomparably greater than this life. They knew that heaven could not be compared to any of the experiences that this life had to offer. Now you might say to that, well, yeah, Pastor, I understand that, but they didn't have the advancements that we have. They didn't have some of the comforts and blessings that we have today. Well, perhaps that's a complicating factor, but maybe that reveals our greater love for idols in this world. Or maybe, at the very least, it reveals what little we think of heaven, or how little we think upon heaven and long for it. So we need to see that heaven indeed is better than this world and all that it has to offer. Secondly, we need to see that it is our heavenly home. We need to desire our heavenly home. Now, I use that word home for a reason, because home is a place where we can relax and we can be ourselves and we can put our feet up or let our hair down and we can be who we truly are. And heaven is the home of God. It's where we get to see Him as He truly is, in His fullness and in His glory. And who among us has looked into the face of perfect love? Or who among us has really beheld complete beauty or all-consuming glory? Or who of us has ever had a taste of unimaginable splendor and God's complete magnificence and perfection? Well, if we did, if we were able to see that, we would not want to stop. We would never want it to end. And heaven is a place where we will experience God's full glory. And after all, that's why He created us, to share His glory with others. He enjoyed His glory amongst the Trinity, but He created us that others might participate in that glory, to allow His majesty to spill over from Himself to others so that we can enjoy it as well. And aren't there times on this earth where our hearts sing, we don't want this moment to end? I just don't want it to stop. Maybe it's a particular type of food that you enjoy. I just don't want to stop eating. It's so good. Or time with friends that you haven't seen for a while, and it's so sweet. I just don't want this to end. I don't want you to have to go home. Well, when our hearts get a glimpse of that, that's a taste of heaven. And so when we will behold God's glory in His fullness, our hearts will say that all the more. I don't want this to end. And the beauty of it is, it won't. It won't end. We won't have to go home. We won't have to stop enjoying it because we will be home. But not only this, we will enjoy all the blessings from God, and that we will be perfect, that we will have our incorruptible bodies. They won't decay anymore. We will be fully vital and in our strength. There will be no more sin before God and before one another. And the greatest commandments, that you shall love the Lord your God and you shall love your neighbor as yourself, will no longer be commands, but will be promises. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You will delight in God and He will delight in you fully. You won't have any sorrow and you will be bathed in complete and total joy. And yet, heaven isn't about you, and it isn't about me. It's about God, and it's about enjoying Him, that He might be glorified. But yet, aren't there times in your life, dear Christian, that you've experienced where you've been walking closely with God, where you've been serving Him, you've been enjoying Him, you've been walking closely in His Word and growing in your faith? And while you might be giving yourself to God at those times more than other times, aren't you chiefly satisfied in those times? Haven't you had those experiences that when you delight in the Lord the most and you are glorifying Him the most, that that's really when you're the most satisfied? Well, heaven is a place where we will experience God's glory and all of His blessings and benefits. And it is a place where you will be more blessed than you ever could be on this earth. But it's a place also that Christ has prepared for you. It's a place that Christ has prepared for you. We see that in our passage in verse 16, that He has prepared a city for them. We heard it in the call to worship from John 14 as well tonight, that Christ went to prepare a place for us. Is He preparing a home with many mansions? Is He preparing a temple, as we heard in Revelation? Is He preparing a city like we see in Hebrews 11? Well, it's all true. Those are all the case. He is preparing a heavenly home that's as large as a city, that's like a temple that fills the whole earth, and it'll be glorious. And Jesus is picturing Himself in the Scriptures as a heavenly homemaker. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Not only does that give great dignity to homemakers here on this earth, this is a Christ-like, godly calling to make the home. But it gives us an amazing glimpse of heaven, because as Christ died and was raised again, He says He goes to prepare this place for us. Have you ever been invited over to someone's house after church and one of the members of the family goes ahead of the rest of the group and goes to get the meal ready and put the finishing touches on things and get the house, just the final finishing touches in order? That's what Jesus has done for us. He's gone ahead to put the final finishing touches on heaven, so to speak, to bring His guests into His heavenly home. And so not only has He made you able to come to heaven by perfecting you through His death and through His life and through His resurrection, but He's also making heaven ready for you. It's a beautiful picture. And so we always have the questions when we think about heaven. Will it be an eternity-long worship service? Will I know people there? Will I know my husband or my wife if I won't be married there? But I think this picture of Christ as the heavenly homemaker who prepares a place for us helps cut through some of those questions. Because it's a picture of divine hospitality. And if you think of wonderful hospitality, when you go to someone's home that you just enjoy being there, you enjoy being there because of their company, right? You enjoy being with them. But you also get to fellowship with all the guests who have been invited along with you. And that's what Christ has done for us. That heaven is a place where we get to go and enjoy God. We get to enjoy His presence. We get to enjoy His hospitality. And we get to enjoy all of His hospitable blessings with one another. So do you enjoy His blessings that He's given you on earth? Just wait. Do you enjoy His people here on earth? Just wait. Do you enjoy all that Christ has to offer you? And do you enjoy Christ Himself on this earth? Then just wait. Because heaven is going to be unimaginably greater and more blessed than we can possibly envision here on this earth. And have you ever noticed that the things that are most wonderful are the hardest to capture in words? As we try to relate a good vacation experience with other people, you find yourself saying things like, "Well, I've never seen anything like it," or "Oh, it's so wonderful, it's indescribable." That's kind of the picture that we see in the Scriptures as heaven is described to us. We get a picture of it. We see images. We see glimpses. But the words, the descriptors, pale in comparison to the reality and the glory that we will experience. Because no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can fathom, no words can fully describe heaven and all of its riches and glory. And yet, the Spirit has revealed these things to us. And He's given us a clear picture, I think, in Hebrews chapter 11, that it is going to be better than anything that you experience in this world. That it's going to be a heavenly and more glorious experience than this world. And it's going to be a place that Christ has prepared for you. Do you believe that? Do you desire that? Do you long for that? Well, dear Christian, sincerely desire a better heavenly home that Christ has prepared. Amen. Let's pray. Father, how great to look into Your Word and to sing of the riches that await us. To look into Your Word and see just brief explanations of the wonders that we look forward to. And Lord, help us to even just have a small taste on the tip of our tongue tonight that it would make us long for more. How we thank You for Christ and all that He has done to enable us to go to heaven. But Lord, we're humbled at the thought that He is still doing more to ready heaven for us, to share with us Your glory and Your greatness and all Your blessings. Come, Lord Jesus, come, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.